welcome to the JSGC Policy Podcast, where we research policy issues that matter to the people in Pennsylvania. Our conversations on the show give a quick glimpse into our research. For a deeper dive on these topics, please visit our website. My name is Susan Elder, and I'm here today with Glenn Paslitz, our executive director here at Joint State.
Hello, Susan.
We also have Brian DeWalt here with us. Brian's our co-host.
Hello.
Today, we are talking with Yvonne Hirsch, who is the project manager for the Election Law Advisory Board, or ELAB.
Hi.
Welcome, Yvonne.
I'd like to mention that Yvonne has appeared on the show before to talk about ELAB in a two-part episode last year. So if you're listening and you're interested in this topic, please feel free to go back and give episode 20 a listen. Now, Glenn, is there anything our listeners should be aware of regarding this year's report?
This is our third report for Act 12 of 2020, which directs Joint State to publish an annual report on the Election Law Advisory Board. And we'll get into the substance of the report further into the podcast. But what I'd like to mention in this introduction is that since the previous report had been released, we had a few resignations from the board as people moved on to different pursuits. And further, there were changes to Pennsylvania's congressional voting districts, which is from where some of the advisory board members are appointed. So consequently, a few new members were appointed to the board, and they joined just as this report was being finalized for the current release. So this year's addition is the work of the prior board rather than the membership as it currently stands.
Thank you, Glenn. Now, I believe we're ready to get into some questions. Yvonne, election directors are the focus of this year's report. So how does someone become an election director anyway?
Answer a want ad. There's really no specific qualification for an election director. The county boards of elections have the authority to hire people to assist them in running and administering elections. It's up to the county board who to hire. Obviously, they're going to look for someone who has some kind of relevant experience that would help them manage an office and the day-to-day activities of elections. Pennsylvania experienced a rather large exodus of qualified election directors after the 2020 election. And so a lot of new people have come in. Again, you would think that maybe people who had experience in working in elections might want to move up the ladder, so to speak, and take on one of those positions. And sometimes that does happen. But you can also, and I can't tell you who, what, where, or exactly when, right now. But there are also people who come in who have no experience whatsoever with elections other than being an attentive voter. We had somebody new in the last few years who came from a background of accounting and had been an accountant. And so it's really a function of what qualifications the county board feels are important, and that can be within or without experience in running elections. It's pretty wide open.
So if they can come from inexperience or experience, can you give us a little bit of information about how election directors currently are trained, Yvonne?
It's very informal. The Department of State offers different training opportunities. They're voluntary. The county commissioners offer some training. There are some different certification programs nationally that you can go to and study and get a certificate in election directorship. You could come in and, if you're lucky, have the experience of the outgoing director being willing and able to share institutional knowledge with you, or you may come into a staff that's been long-term and really understands how to work it and can be supportive. There are a couple of associations in Eastern and Western Association of Election Officials. They informally share information. They talk to each other. They network with each other. They have annual meetings at which Department of State does offer some training. For the most part, it's voluntary, and you kind of have to go look for it. Again, a part of the assumption is if you're doing a job and you don't know how to do it, you're going to seek somebody to help you and show you how to do it. But there's no really formalized process for it.
Given the environment that the election board directors are working and learning in, can you tell us a little bit about the board's thought process behind their training and the continuing education recommendation?
They want to help election directors do their jobs well, and they want to be able to retain them in those positions. And so a lot of the thought is to just give support to these directors who are coming in. The post-2020 election world is not the calmest, quietest, peace-lovingest era in voting that we've ever seen. And there are a lot of concerns, there are a lot of suspicions, there are a lot of rumors as to nefarious things occurring. And that makes it a little more intimidating to become a director and to stay as a director. So part of the thinking is if the directors feel confident in their knowledge and their understanding, they can be more responsive to any questions coming from the public or any concerns about process, that they're able to respond effectively and clearly and honestly to people's concerns about elections.
So given that there is now a training recommendation in the release report, are there any election directors who would be exempt from this and why?
We really had like two groups that would be exempt. That would be people who already had training or certification. There aren't going to be a lot of those in Pennsylvania, but there may be a few like that. The other group, which would be the larger group, would be people who were election directors prior to Act 77 of 2019, which is the mail-in ballot statute, with the idea being that they've been through the changes, they've worked through the mail-in ballot process, and that they already have the experience and training in that area because they went through it when it was first initiated, so that we were not going to ask them to redo initial training on those areas. And then the idea of pretty much everybody being required to do the continuing education is to keep people up to date on evolving technology, evolving law. There are a lot of efforts underway to modernize Pennsylvania's process, both with voter registration, use of electronic poll books, a lot of things that will change the environment from an administrative perspective over time. And so the idea that people have continuing education came into being that way. And again, it's pretty open on how you can get that education. Like the electronic voting machine manufacturers provide training on how to use their equipment and things like that. That can be counted towards the continuing education requirement.
These courses that the report recommends, are they already in place, or is that something that will need to be developed?
Department of State has some training programs in place. If you would visit the Bureau of Election Security and Technology, among their roles they list are SURE training and guidelines, election security policies and procedures, support technology enhancement, partnering with counties on risk limiting audit pilots, other trainings and best practices. So there's stuff out there, but It's not mandatory. It's find it as you need it. Arguments can be made that it should be voluntary, but the board generally felt that training needs are going to become more important over time. And it's something that we need to make sure, especially with the new directors, that they understand what's being expected of them.
So Yvonne, you mentioned in the report guiding principles that the board has kept in mind throughout this whole process. Can you tell us a little bit more about them and how they've affected election director training and continuing education?
One of the first principles is recognizing that the Commonwealth is very diverse. You have 67 counties who are each more or less doing their own thing. We aren't a Commonwealth for nothing. So we tried to make the language flexible. We tried to provide multiple options so that each county can structure their training and each director can choose training that's most appropriate for that county's needs. So with respect to funding, we know unfunded mandates are not popular. We know this is going to be an extra expense for the counties. It is something that some funding would be nice and helpful. There is some state funding for training in the Election Integrity Grant Program, which was passed in 2022. Among other things, it provided for if certain security measures were taken by the county and they could assure that they could count and report all the ballots pretty much in between election day and the day after election, they could get election integrity grants. And one of the purposes that election integrity grants can be used for is training costs for district election officials. There's designated money there, but we did feel it was important enough that, and we're talking about one official per county. So we're not talking massive amounts of money at any given time. Lead time is something the counties care a great deal about because they have to make a lot of changes and accomplish they have to do a lot in a short period of time, a lot of times with some of these amendments and stuff. So one of the things we did was we gave them at least a year to get the initial training in. We gave them extra time to get continuing education in. We put in language that would allow extensions of the time. So to try to make sure that some election director didn't have training coming due, you know, 5 days before an election or something like that. So we tried to be in basically every respect of doing it. The board wanted to make it mandatory, but to make it mandatory in a way that was doable for all the counties.
We recently had an episode on the potential pitfalls of too many training mandates for public school employees. Yvonne, are there dangers of election workers becoming overburdened through this training recommendation?
I really don't think so with the way we've structured it. I think with the teacher mandates, having proofread that report, there are a lot of individual topics that there's mandatory training of X number of hours in X number of years or whatever. And the way we've structured this with the flexibility and the breadth of what you can take your training in, it shouldn't have that kind of redundancy or that kind of overlap. If mail-in ballots are the area you're stuck with or that you're hung up on as an election director, then you can go and get mail-in ballot training. But we're not saying you have to get 3 hours of mail-in ballot training every year or anything like that. It's really open to what the director and what the county board feels the director needs to work on and be on top of. So it doesn't have all those layers built on it that you see with the public school teachers.
It's time for us to wrap up our conversation. Thank you, Yvonne, for joining us and for giving us some detail about this latest edition of the ELAB report.
Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Always a pleasure to have you. If you're listening, you can find more information on the ELAB reports at the Joint State website. The link to the website is in our show notes. Music for our podcast is provided by Joseph McDade. Thanks for listening.